If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Matthew chapter 2, the portion where we read this morning, Matthew chapter 2. I do have a message, I believe, from the Lord this morning and this afternoon. A message really regarding Joseph. Now, we will look at this in three different ways. We look at it this morning, this afternoon, and God willing, next Sunday afternoon, we look at it from the point of Christ's point of view when he was taken into Egypt. But today we'll look at the message that was given to Joseph, and then about the Lord and how that can apply even to your own life. We'll look at the first part this morning, and then we'll look at the other part this afternoon. And I pray that you'll stay back. You'll come this afternoon, and there'll be a word, I believe, from God to all our hearts. But Matthew chapter 2, and again, I'll just read verse 19 and 20, just for time. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Now that is the end of the reading, and so we look at the start today and pray that God will bless us. Let's unite together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, and our eternal God, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts already this day. We thank thee for the scriptures that have been read. We rejoice, O God, for thy truth in many different languages. And yet, Father, we thank thee it is the same truth that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Father, we thank thee there's a band of people in this room who are the saved of the Lord, that all their sin has been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. But, O God, we pray for some still without Christ, without a Saviour. We pray this will be the day that they will come in faith and put their trust in him. Answer prayer for the Saviour's sake. Amen. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2, we read these words, And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there, thou, until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The angel's message to Joseph in verse 18 came after the wise men had departed, having worshipped Christ King. The wise men, they were Gentiles. They studied the stars, that they believed what God had said in his word concerning the promised Saviour, under the description and imagery of a star unlike any other. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, is that prophecy that these Gentiles, these wise men, would have studied. It says, There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. The ultimate fulfillment of those words is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that star out of Jacob, and he is that scepter that shall rise out of Israel. Again, we learn this prophecy of Christ under the symbol of a star, and from the line of Jacob in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, where it says of Christ, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And so these men had studied the stars, and they believed this prophecy concerning one particular star that symbolized the birth of the promised Saviour. And whenever that star appeared, the wise men said, We have seen his star. This star was known as the star of Bethlehem, or the Saviour's star. These wise men came to worship the Saviour, to worship the Lord, the redeemed of all his people. Their worship was not vain. Their worship was not empty. It was not just religious routine, but they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts were not presented to Mary on behalf of Christ. Rather, they were presented to Christ himself. The wise men bowed down to Christ. They didn't come and bow to Mary and Christ. They didn't come to bow to Mary then Christ. They came directly and worshiped the Savior. And that is the pattern of our worship. We don't come to worship Christ plus something else, or something else plus Christ. We don't come and worship Mary plus Christ, or the church plus Christ. We come and we worship Jesus Christ alone. And these wise men, as they presented these gifts, as they bowed before the Lord, they were declaring, "Here is the King of all his people." They recognized that the only hope that sinners have of eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That through this birth, this child, this King, this Savior, this promised Messiah, is where sinners will have acceptance with God and approach with God. And what a joy that was for Mary and Joseph that day, when there was praise, there was worship in that house on to the Lord. And therefore, child of God, the wise men show us a pattern that not only in our own homes, but also here in God's house, that we ought always to worship the Lord. When we gather together, it is to worship the Lord. And wouldn't it be that blessed occasion, even today, that you could leave the house of God tonight knowing that you've been in the presence of the Lord, that there's been a band of people gathered together, come from your various locations to the house of God, to the place where Christ is worshipped, and to meet with him. That night, when Joseph went to bed, having worshipped the Lord, spent time in the Lord's presence, and all the wise men came, we learn the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And straight away, Joseph had a word from the Lord. There was action to be taken. And isn't that the case, child of God? Whenever we come to God's house and we spend the day in God's presence and we worship the Lord, God comes and challenges us. God gives us a word that must be acted upon. Every Lord's Day, there must be a word for you, what God wants you to do. And that's the same occasion here. Joseph had spent time in the presence of the Savior. He had spent time with the wise men coming and worshiping Christ. And now he goes home to his house, and or not the house, but he goes to bed, and a word comes to him, a message from God. You see, the Lord's Day, contrary to some, does not end with God's house. When you go home and read your Bible, God still speaks to you. And so we learn that in this occasion, the angel of the Lord comes, ministers to Joseph with a message. And it's that message that we want to look at this morning and this afternoon. And I'm only going to give you the first point today, which will be the precept to Joseph. And there's three subpoints under that, and we look at the rest this afternoon. Notice, first of all, the precept to Joseph. This is the command. This is what Joseph is to do. Verse 13, we learn that when the wise men departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The word angel is the word messenger. And so this angel, this messenger, comes to Joseph in a dream with a word, a message, a precept from God to Joseph. Now, this was not the first time, or would it be the last time, or would it say, would not be the last time that the angel would appear to Joseph with a message from God. Remember, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, the angel appeared to Joseph at his birth. And we learn this. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take on to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here we've learned also in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, the angel appeared unto him about going into Egypt. And then in verse 19, the angel appears to Joseph again about coming out, leaving Egypt. And then again in verse 2, about returning into Israel. And so that is four occasions when the angel came to Joseph with a message. And remember, during Bible times, during these days, they did not have the complete canon of Scripture as we have today. We can open the full revelation of God from Genesis to Revelation, and we can see the prophecies that were given, and we can see the prophecies that were fulfilled. We can read in the Bible, "Fear thou not," and we can flick a couple of pages or a couple of chapters and read on and see, well, there really was nothing to fear, was there? But you can imagine Joseph having these words there and then. He feared. And so the message came, "Fear thou not." Joseph did not have the whole picture. He only had what God given there and then. And he had to trust God. And the more he trusted God, step by step, more was given to him. But as I said, we can take the whole Scripture and we can look from the first message to the last message, and we can see really there was nothing for Joseph to fear. But the point is this, that in the Old Testament, they had the law, they had the prophets, as Christ had taught, and the Psalms. But the connecting truth is this, as we said last week, in Bible times, they looked forward to what Christ would do. All the messages, the prophecies, looked toward not only the first coming, but also the second coming. We look back to those prophecies. We look back to the cross that Christ did come. But also we have our eye still on the return of the Lord, which is still to be fulfilled. But what I want to show you this day, that the message given to Joseph was a message from God. Today, God no longer speaks by dreams or by visions, because we have the Word of God. We have the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So anything that God speaks by His Son, He will speak through His Word, the written Word, the Scriptures of truth. And so if you have someone who comes and tells you they had a dream last night of an angel appearing unto them, I would be very, very weary. You go to a church and a man stands up there and said, "I had an hallucination last night. A heavenly visitor came and everything just flashed before my eyes." I'd be very, very weary and I would get out of that place. Again, you see these God channels on TV and they say how Jesus just came the night right up to them and told them, "This is the message that you must preach." And then he looked at the back of the crowd and he could see Jesus standing there at the back, pointing, making sure, "Preach my message." I'd be very, very careful about such people and ask what medication they're on and prescribe a better doctor. But these are all deception and delusionist, and you must be very, very careful. Anything that God wants to say to you, it will be through His Word, the written Word of God. So be very, very careful. Always remember that. God will speak to you through His Word. Anything that God has to say to you about service, about salvation, you will find it in the Word of God. So we must keep that before us. Joseph, while, as we said, they did not have the complete canon of Scripture, and God at this time revealed His Word through dreams or message or by dreams. Yet, I want you to grasp this. Joseph is not depending upon the dream. He is not going to act on the dream. He's going to act on the message that was given to him. And therefore, we must not wait for dreams, hope for new experiences, visions, flashes, but focus our mind on what Jesus Christ has said in his word, as it is preached and as it is read. There's a word of service, guidance, assurance, comfort, cleansing for the people of God. A word of salvation, grace, compassion, and cleansing from sinners, for sinners. But it comes by taking heed to the word of God. The question is, are you reading the word of God? Are you in the scriptures? Are the scriptures in you? Or are you one who is just going to these different Pentecostal places and wherever it is you go and you look for hallucinations, you look for dreams and visions? Stick to the word of God. There's a word for you in the scripture. And so notice three simple thoughts. This precept was instructive. The message delivered to Joseph about going into Egypt, remaining in Egypt, and returning from Egypt was clear. There was no mixed message. There was no misunderstanding. Joseph was instructed by the word, by the messenger. He understood what the Lord required of him. Take the young child and his mother. And he was to go immediately. He was not to travel to family such as Elizabeth and Zacharias to tell them the news or to ask would they like to accompany them on the journey. Rather, he was to go into Egypt and go immediately. And when he went to Egypt, he was to wait there until he was given instruction to leave. And therefore, child of God, we must learn that God instructs us in our living the gospel and in serving him as he does through the Bible. Again, we learn in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, how we ought to walk and to please God so we would abound more and more. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he taught his disciples the message before his ascension, he said to them in Mark chapter 15, verse 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so they were instructed where to go, when to go, who to go with, what to do, and what to say. And so, child of God, whenever you read the Bible, God instructs you in the Bible. And how many errors we make because we do not receive instruction from the Word of God. We do what we want to do first, but we must come to the scriptures of truth. The precept for what God wants you to do is found in the Word of God. And when you dwell in the Word of God, and the Word of God dwells in you richly, then you will know what God wants you to do. You will know when you are in a place or another church that you should not be and need to get out of. You will know when you're about to do something that you ought not to do, or someone tries to influence you to do something. You will know what's wrong to do because you are guided by the Word of God. The Word of God is our instruction. Joseph, go to Egypt. Take the young child and his mother. It was clear. It was plain. It was simple. And Joseph obeyed the instruction given. And therefore, child of God, that's the greatest thing we can ever do. Obey the scriptures. Live by the word of God. Notice also the precept was imperative because these words take and flee are imperatives. That means they are commands given by the Lord. This is heaven's authority. The Lord, this messenger says to Joseph, take, flee. In other words, go now. You're commanded. Here's a duty, a responsibility. My word must be obeyed. Joseph, go now. They are words of rule, words of service. They are to be obeyed, and they are to be obeyed straight away. These are words of urgency. Again, the word flee, as you have before you, it's not only an imperative, but it's also in the continual tense, which means continually go. Joseph, go now, without delay. Don't waste any minute. Leave now and keep going, keep running, keep traveling until you get to Egypt. Don't dilly-dally, don't stop off. Keep going until you get to Egypt. Why? For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Joseph, you will be hunted. Christ will be hunted, pursued after. Herod wants the young child to destroy him. Therefore, arise, take the young child and flee into Egypt. Keep on going. Don't stop. It's a matter of life and a matter of death. Keep going. And Joseph obeying this word is very, very important. As we look at, God willing, next Lord's Day afternoon, from the point of Christ's, from the view of Christ in this verse. But Joseph doing this is preserving the gospel for the purpose of saving sinners. Joseph obeyed the heavenly command so that others would hear the gospel. He obeyed with urgency. Whatever the Lord required him to do, he did it. Again, we learn, taking the words of 1 Samuel 21, verse 8, the king's business requireth haste. And what a word we have to take. The king's business requireth haste. Joseph, here's what you must do, and keep doing it. Don't be sidetracked. Don't stop. Don't be deflected. You're in danger. Christ being hunted, pursued for his life. Flee to Egypt. And therefore, men and women, as Joseph did that, it was for the preservation of the gospel message, that sinners would hear the gospel. So we learn, child of God, an application. We have the urgency to go into all the world and preach the gospel and keep on giving the gospel, that sinners will hear the gospel, that sinners will know the gospel, that sinners will have the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Men and women, their souls in danger, and they need to be rescued. Who will go with urgency? Who will take, flee the child, the message? Who will take the message to men and women in this area of the gospel? If you're not able to speak in person, put a gospel or put a gospel leaflet or a gospel in-flight through a letterbox. Then, if you're not able to speak in person, then put a gospel leaflet or an invite through the letterbox. If you're not able to walk as freely as you once did, share the message then by phone, by email, by WhatsApp, or by text. Because Christ's word will not return unto him void. Christ said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, I must be about my Father's business. We learn in Psalm 40, he delighted to do the will of God. He said in John chapter 4, verse 34, my meat, my desire, my food, what satisfies me is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. And that's what Joseph's desire was, to do what God wanted him to do. And by doing that, going into Egypt, protecting the child's life, the infant Christ, the babe Christ, the young child, he was preserving the gospel that whenever he would come back out of Egypt, then Christ would live his life and then begin his ministry. And so, child of God, this day, the gospel is preserved with you as you give the gospel out, as you give it to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, that the gospel will be spread to others. And so this precept was instructive. It was an imperative. But notice finally, this precept was important. Notice the connection between the phrases. Flee into Egypt, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod wanted Christ gone, killed, removed. He wanted nothing to do with the Savior. He's seen the message of Christ's birth as an attack upon him. He still wanted the throne. So this word flee, as we've looked at, it's an imperative. We've learned it is a continual tense, but it means to flee away, to take flight, to seek safety. It's where we get the English word fugitive, where one who escapes from someone or something. And so in this word flee, we have this instruction given. He is to go into Egypt. This is often termed as Christ's flight into Egypt. But this message was important because Christ's life was in danger. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And that word seek means an intense search. It means to pursue until found. It means to hunt down. And it's amazing to note that even before Herod had sent out a band of soldiers to Bethlehem to slay children, hoping that one of them would be Christ, the young king, the Lord had already delivered this message to Joseph. Even before Herod spoke to one person about going, seeking this child, the message had already come to Joseph. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Flee, go now into Egypt. You see, the Lord, his knowledge is infinite. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. And so this message was an important message. Herod is bloodthirsty. He wants Christ removed. Christ gone. He wants nothing more to do with this Savior that he's heard about. And so this is a crucial point. It is a matter of life and death. And therefore, Joseph must not be just a hearer only, but he also must be a doer of the word. And this precept comes to Joseph in an important time, a vital time, the right time, the time he needs it. And so, child of God, you have found in your life as well, whenever the Lord has given you a message, whatever that message might have been, but it has come at an important time in your life. And you might say, if it was not for that word at that particular time, then you might not have been here today. Your family may not have ever got through that particular struggle. I've heard preachers or Bible lecturers say in preparing messages or preparing seminars to teach students that whenever they went through a particular hard, challenging time, one man in particular, he said only when he was going through the book of Peter in order to teach it to students, was there something in that book for him that if it was not for studying that book at that time to prepare the messages, he would not have been here today. And so maybe in your life, through bereavement, through sorrow, through some circumstance, if God had not come at that particular time with a message, delivering it through the messenger. Because as we learned this afternoon, the word angel means messenger. And so, suppose you could say this way, if someone said you believe in angels, you said yes, because we have one in our pulpit. So you can, that's free, by the way, that one. You have an, Dr. Douglas used to tell his congregation in Lisburn, did you ever realize that you have an angel in the pulpit? Because that's what the word means. It means messenger. And so, God's word delivered to you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A word spoken in season. How good is it? And this word to Joseph was a word spoken in season. That means it was a word for that occasion. It was a word needed for that exact time. Herod is after the young child to destroy him. Flee. Arise, go to Egypt. Again, this is illustrated also in Matthew chapter 1, when Joseph didn't know whether he should marry Mary or not. What should he do? He's in a difficult situation. A decision has to be made. Should he marry Mary or not, as she's now with child? However, Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Here's another message. Here's a word. Again, you could say a word that is instructive, a word that is an imperative, a word that is important for this particular time. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, because that all centered upon the birth of Christ. Again, John chapter 21, whenever Peter denied the Lord three times, and he convinced himself that his service was over, he felt a failure. He felt there was no point going on. He felt like giving up, and maybe you've been there before. Feel like giving up, feel a failure, feel the Lord cannot use me ever again. And yet the Lord came with a word in season to Peter in verses 15 to 17. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And maybe you are cast down and the Lord comes to you with a word in season. Go on. I'm not finished with you. I still have a work for you to do. You think as well in Acts chapter 16. We looked at this when we studied the introduction of Philippians. Acts chapter 16. And it's been in the news again already this week, where there was the two preachers, Paul and Silas, in prison. And there the earthquake came. And the prison guard, he thought the prisoners had escaped. And he knew that he would be in trouble, maybe lose his life. And so what did he think would be the best option? Would be to commit suicide. To take his own life. And as he was about to do that, he got a word that was instructive. He got a word that was an imperative. He got a word that was for that particular time. What did the preacher shout out? Do thyself no harm. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I say that to you men and women today. This man in Acts chapter 16 was under pressure from work. They thought the prisoners had escaped. And he thought the only way, the easy way, the best way to handle it was to take his own life. But that is never the right way, the best way, or any way to handle any situation. And I only say that now because it's been in the news all this week of different age gaps, even young people as well, feeling so pressured that the only thing to do is to take their own life. And you look at the news and you see this past week, about parents, whether fathers getting together, mothers getting together. Even this young girl in the news the other day with this horse going up and down the land. Children, 14, taking their own life. And I say this to our own young people as well. Talk to your parents. Ring the phone, talk to a believer, talk to me, do something. Under pressure, anybody in the church, don't get so pressurized that you think that's the only way. Do thyself no harm, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer for every situation. That was a word in season for that man. And therefore, we learn, don't we, in Luke chapter 2 in closing, that when the angel came and delivered the message to the shepherds, He said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The word glad tidings is the word gospel. It is the word good news. Because Jesus Christ is good news. He is glad tidings of great joy. He's the best news among bad news. He is the only hope when you feel there is no hope. And therefore, whatever your situation may be, Jesus Christ is the answer. He saves from sin. He keeps his people. He is the hope of glory in you. Therefore, we've only looked at the first point, still more to come this afternoon. But the precept given to Joseph, it was full of instruction. And when you stay to God's word will tell you what to do. Sinner today, God's word will tell you the only way to heaven, it's by faith alone in Christ alone. It was an imperative. He was to obey the word straight away. Don't delay. And so, sinner today, the gospel is presented to you. No man has promised tomorrow. You must turn from your sin. You must come now and believe the gospel. And it was a word in season because Christ's life was in danger. And if your life is in danger or you feel of putting your life in danger, I say to you, turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Come for guidance. Come for help. Talk to someone. Seek the Lord. It was a word in season. And sinner today, you are not saved. You're headed for a lost eternity. And hell will be your eternal destination. And therefore the word in season to you is there's hope in Jesus Christ. The gospel message. Because he came into the world to save sinners. And you can be saved this day and have your sin forgiven for his name's sake. Amen.